Well, for some folks, the holidays still linger. You can tell who they are as you drive around at night. You will see they still have their lights on, their Christmas lights. I suspect we have a few lingerers with us here this morning, and that's okay, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but just in case you're wondering, we are bringing January to a close in just a week, so I'm just saying, you know. And it would be nice if we could keep all the good things about the holiday season with us all year long. For example, the sense of joy and peace that we all seem to experience during the holiday season is evident for many, and the sense of promise that the celebration of the birth of the Savior brings with it. And in reality, there is a way to do just that. In fact, I believe that's something God wants for each and every one of us. It's only found in one place, and that's in the kingdom of God. We can't celebrate, if you will, the world and expect God's peace. We want to celebrate the kingdom, and that's where it's found. Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's a wonderful description of God's kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you won't enter the kingdom of God without righteousness, and righteousness is only found in Christ, through the finished work of the cross. And once you know Jesus, true peace is found in him. But I want to know something rather important here. Notice it says, how did I jump ahead of there like that? Where did we go with that? I must have bumped it. I'm sorry. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Rather significant. It's there for a reason. I've said before many times that I believe that the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person of the Trinity, and this should not be. Everything God does in our life as believers, everything he does with us and through us, he does through the Holy Spirit. Whether he speaks to us, whether he brings healing to us, whether he works miracles in our life, he gives us wisdom and direction. Scripture proclaims it's all through the Holy Spirit. And we know the word said it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is no less God than God the Father, God the Son, a Trinity. I mentioned a moment ago that we're rapidly bringing January to a close. The year is still young, and God willing, this will be a great year. And regardless of what the year brings for you, God wants you to know that you are not alone in it, that he wants to go through the year with you. And when we begin to understand the importance of having and developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit and what that means to us, our lives change dramatically. As I said many times over the years, I've talked about we get saved. This was my experience. I've seen it in others. We get saved and we have this wonderful relationship with Jesus. It's phenomenal. It was for me. And then after a while, you begin to mature and you realize, well, I can have a relationship with the Father through Jesus. And many do that. They begin to understand, I can pray and I can hear the Father and I can pray to Jesus. And so many stop right there and they don't develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as I was looking this week, studying, and actually heard a message I was praying about this week, and somebody spoke a message, and I was just clicking through the radio one day, and it kind of stirred my spirit, and something I was studying along, and I went back through my notes, and when I go through all my notes, probably the thickest folder I have is on the Holy Spirit, because I think it's so important, so vital. And so God wants you to know that you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe we can understand this better when we see the importance the Father and Jesus placed and places on the Spirit of God. A close look at Jesus reveals to us that from the conception through the resurrection, Jesus was completely dependent and chose to be in the Holy Spirit. The prophet Isaiah foretold, of course, the coming Messiah. And in his prophecy, notice the significance of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 11, 1 and following, "There shall come forth the rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Before the incarnation of Christ, it was determined that the Spirit should rest on him. Little wonder the importance of it. Look at it again. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. These wonderful attributes of the Holy Spirit, all of these wonderful attributes, which of these attributes of the Holy Spirit could you use this coming week or this coming year? Wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. I mean, sign me up. Amen. Isaiah prophesied this, that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon the Messiah. And in the beginning of the New Testament, we see the announcement of his coming. We find it in Luke, and Luke records the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary, and Gabriel informs Mary that she's going to bring forth the Savior of the world. Mary questions how this will happen, and notice Gabriel's response. And the angel answered and said to her on Luke 1, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." From prophecy to conception, the Holy Spirit is involved. Luke moves quickly through the birth and ministry, right to the ministry of Jesus. Talks about his birth, talks about him being as a child in the synagogue, and then moves quickly to verse chapter 3. We find the ministry of Jesus beginning. And notice in Luke 3 here, 21 and following, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." You're beginning to see a theme here. It's interesting how we can overlook what God places such an emphasis on. Pastor J.R. Vassar makes an insightful observation about this passage. First, there's the Holy Spirit that rests on Jesus, as been prophesied in Isaiah. But Vassar remarks that before Jesus did anything, never healed anybody, never preached a sermon, never did anything yet, the Father proclaims his love for the Son. That's extremely important. We should get that. In our performance-minded culture, we often relate how we are doing with God in relationship to how God feels about us and our behavior. Jesus hadn't done anything yet, and God said, "This is my Son, my beloved Son. I'm so pleased. I love him." And he's saying the same thing to you this morning. Jesus always did what pleased the Father, and we should do that as well. But that's not what drives the Father's love for Jesus, and it's not what drives his love for you. Your relationship is far better when you do what pleases the Father. Your life is far better when you do what pleases the Father. Everything is better when you do what pleases the Father, but it doesn't change his love for you. And so let's stop being performance-driven, can we? Let's stop wondering about how we're doing and just say, God loves me. And God loves you more than words can express. And if you can understand that deep within your being, it'll go a long way in your spiritual growth. And if you can understand that deep within your being, it'll go a long way in your defeating the works of the enemy in your life. Romans 8 informs us that it's the Holy Spirit who speaks deep within our hearts, confirming that we are the children of God and all the privileges that go with that. And so Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit rests upon him, the Father speaks his love to him. And boy, we would just, wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, when he prayed, the heaven opened. You know, I just love when I pray, the heavens just open, Holy Spirit falls. I mean, come on! Who wouldn't want that? Except immediately after that, we could skip the next part. Jesus is immediately led, interestingly enough, by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Really? Satan tempts Jesus in every way imaginable. And Jesus is victorious over the temptation of the enemy. He defeats Satan through speaking the word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:14, just after it says, after the temptation, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. As he left the temptation of the enemy, led by the Holy Spirit, successful in defeating him by the Holy Spirit, and he returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. And just two verses later, we see Jesus entering a synagogue. He stands and reads from Isaiah, and he says this. In Luke 4:18, he reads the scripture from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You getting the theme again here? "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." We looked at this verse just last week, and notice here that Jesus attributes the work of his ministry to the power of the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." He reads from Isaiah and sits down, and the scripture said, every eye was on him. And he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." To me, that's the shortest sermon on record. He gets up, reads from Isaiah, sits down, and said, "Today it's fulfilled in me, in your hearing." John chapter 3 tells us that Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. Every miracle Jesus performed, every deliverance where Jesus defeated Satan, every sermon preached, Jesus did so by the power and anointing of the Spirit of God. Matthew writes of the time when they brought a man to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. Christ heals him, and you probably know the story. The Pharisees accuse him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, which was the leader of demons in their mind. You cast the demons out by the leader of the demons. And Jesus refutes this as a lie. And then he says, after refuting the lie, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." The kingdom of God has come upon you. I love that expression. The kingdom of God always defeats the works of Satan by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, God sends Peter to a Gentile, Cornelius' house. Peter preaches to the people gathered there, tells them about Christ, tells them why he was sent by the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful story, account of the truth of what happened. And as he's preaching to them in Acts 10:38, he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed for the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now, I mean, we quickly get this healing all. But we read this doing good. And what's the thing? What do you hear with it? I mean, he was doing good. He was blessing people. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't mean that. Certainly, Jesus did many things just to bless people. Good things. And we're called to do good and be a blessing also. But I saw something as we were studying last week on healing. And it's interesting that last week we looked at the time when Jesus healed a man's withered hand on the Sabbath. And Pharisees, of course, chastised him for not obeying the law. You can't do work on the Sabbath. How would you dare do that? Could care less about this poor man's withered hand, and he could care less that they saw the miracle in front of their eyes. And so Jesus said, "How many of you, if your sheep would fall in the ditch, would lift them out?" And you all would do it. Therefore, the law permits doing good on the Sabbath. Isn't it interesting that Jesus called healing miracle good, doing good? It's not just good works. There's nothing wrong with good works. But he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. As Christ's follower, we are called to do good works. And our good works will be far more profitable if we're led by and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Whether it's just being a blessing to somebody, whether it's just encouraging somebody, whether it's praying for somebody, whether it's believing for healing for somebody, whatever it may be, they'll be far more profitable if we're anointed and led by the Holy Spirit. Every one of us wants our life to count for something. We should. We want to make a difference. At the close of our lives, whenever that may be, our life should count. And while it's important to provide for our family and ourselves, raise our families and do all, that's all important. Most of what we do is temporal. Living in homes, providing homes, it's all going to fall away someday. Only what we do for the kingdom of God and others in God's name has eternal significance. I'm not negating what we do that's just good things and things providing, that's important. We've all known people that refuse to provide for their family or won't work hard enough. I'm not saying that, but understand what we do for the kingdom of God, that's what has eternal significance. And we'll accomplish so much more for eternity when we too learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. If Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit from the prophecy, from conception, all the way through resurrection, we need to as well. We would do well to do likewise. We know from Scripture that when Jesus was in the garden, he was in deep agony, literally sweating drops of blood. How is it possible to do what the Father is asking him? How is it possible to redeem mankind from their sin? Hebrews 9:14 tells us that it was by the power of the Holy Spirit he was able to offer himself to God as a perfect sacrifice. From conception, through ministry, through the death, through the resurrection, was all done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's a beautiful scripture. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, you have the Spirit of God living within you. And if you have the Spirit of God living within you, he can quicken or give life to your mortal bodies. We know that he'll quicken our bodies at some point in time when we've had, you know, when the second resurrection comes and when we're resurrected from the dead, we get that. But he can quicken and give life to our bodies right now when you're fighting sickness. Thank God, the Holy Spirit within you can give life to your mortal bodies. The same Holy Spirit who has a power occasionally. Oh, wait a minute. The same Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. If he can raise Christ from the dead, I think he can cover our little issues. You think he's got it covered? It's the same Holy Spirit. From conception through resurrection, Jesus chose to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. Are you? Am I? Do we live our lives completely dependent on the Holy Spirit? Or do we take matters into our hands most of the time? John chapter 20 records the very first time Jesus sees his disciples after the resurrection. He puts them at peace. He tells them, as my Father sent me, I am sending you. And then he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. As my Father sent me, anointed and blessed and full of power for the Holy Spirit with a mission for the kingdom of God, I'm sending you. If you know Christ, you're a disciple of Christ, you're a follower of Christ, you have a plan from God, you have a mission from God, you are to touch others with the kingdom of God. And he said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do this without the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, because I didn't. Are we beginning to get the importance of not only understanding who the Holy Spirit is, but depending on the Holy Spirit? You don't know what this year will bring. No matter what it brings, good or bad, you will carry through it far better when you are yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Just to get through life. We need the Spirit of God. How many agree with that? Just to get through life, we need the Spirit of God. And yet, it's true, but life is about much more than just getting through it. Real life impacts your world for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come upon you. When others meet you, has the kingdom of God come upon them because of the Holy Spirit within you? Yes, we got to get through life. Sometimes it's hard. Some weeks are harder than others. Amen? But just getting through life has no eternal impact. What we do for the kingdom of God, real life, impacts the kingdom of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Do you want to make your life count? The only way to do that is to get out of neutral. We want to be significant for God. We want to do something for God. We want our life to count. At the end of our lives, we all want to have our lives held something to be significant. Get out of neutral. We can't just think about it. We got to do something about it. And the way to impact others for eternity is to be sensitive to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit and obey them. When the Holy Spirit speaks, boldly move forward. Trust the Holy Spirit. And it starts by being sold out to God. It is easy, in fact, tempting, to have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. We all do it at times. Jesus says, I want you to jump in with both feet, to be sold out to God, to be in the world but be not of the world. You will accomplish great things for God when you depend completely on the Holy Spirit for everything. We've been meeting for some time now on Tuesday evenings for prayer in the upper room. A few months back, we felt the Holy Spirit prompted us to meet for prayer. We're meeting in the upper room. Those of us that have joined acknowledge it's been wonderful. Times at times challenging just praying, but it's been good. It's been wonderful. Last week, we were praying, and God spoke to us. And he encouraged us that our time in prayer was, in fact, doing the work of the ministry. We're looking for answers all the time. We're waiting for answers. Come on, Lord, we've been praying for 25 minutes now. Let's go. He said, just praying is doing the work of the ministry, and that he is preparing us and our church for what he has for us, and preparing and paving the way for what he has for us. He said, don't quit. Don't give up. It was a wonderful encouragement, and it reminded us that you know, we think we just, you know, prayer is, okay, we're praying. It's valid. We can't do anything without it. It's not time to stop, but to press forward. And in our pressing forward as a body of Christ in our lives personally, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Great moves of God begin with a whisper. A still small voice of God speaks. And then I believe he waits to see if you strain to hear more. God speaks. Are we pressing in? Over 5 years ago, I began to sense a leading in the Holy Spirit, probably close to six. And actually, that same leading began about 5 years before that, about 10 years ago, maybe 11 now. I sensed at that time that God was speaking to me that we were to move from our current location. Some of you know the story. I sought God about it. I spoke to some confidants about it, prayed about it, listened to the voice of God, and waited on God. I didn't get ahead of God. I waited and I listened. And if you know me well, I don't wait well sometimes. You know, I want to get things done. I just, you know, I strained to hear more, but I just waited. Did what was in front of me, didn't push it, didn't make it happen. Just waited. See, there's something about hearing God's voice and hearing the timing of God's voice. About 6 years ago, he began to speak to me about this current location we're in. And when I was convinced after months of prayer and doing some research and seeing was it feasible, for months I did that, and then I brought it to the Board of New Hope. And the Board of New Hope sought God, prayed, fasted, looked for God. We invested the possibilities, we prayed about the possibilities, and we determined to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Vassar, I mentioned a minute ago, he says, when you quench the leading of the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you forfeit what is on the other side of the prompting. That's important to remember that. God will prompt you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you can quench that. And you forfeit what's on the other side of the prompting of the Spirit of God. Now, we can quench the Spirit by being in sin. We can quench the Spirit by ignoring Him, by grieving Him. There's many things we can do with that, but sometimes we just quench the Spirit because we're not really listening. It's too big. It's too much. Doesn't make sense. Why would we move there? And then we had to follow what God was doing. Now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to strain to hear more, to press in to God. The battle is won in prayer. We gather in a beautiful sanctuary. It's warm in the winter, cool in the summer, comfortable chairs, not those old hard pews. It didn't happen overnight. It began with a whisper. Chris encouraged me the other evening to share once again what God did here, and I agreed with her. To be reminded of what God has done in our midst. It began with a whisper, followed by the obedience of several people, and then followed by the hard work of many. We put our hand to what God whispered. Let's look at this short little video that we put together a few years ago. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go through, set yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. again with a whisper, and we did not forfeit what was on the other side of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to forfeit what is on the other side of what God wants for us now, for New Hope for Christian Fellowship, and for your life personally. It's time to press in as a body of believers, body of Christ followers. And it's time to press in for your personal life as well, because you do not want to forfeit what is on the other side of the promptings of the Holy Spirit that you will receive this year. God desires to speak to you. God desires to prompt you, to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, to give you wisdom, discernment, the power and might and the counsel of God. I don't want to forfeit what's on the other side of what God has, do you? And if we begin to understand that everything that Jesus did, from the prophecy in Isaiah through the resurrection of Christ, was done by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that we would hear the voice of God and obey the voice of God personally and corporately. Invite the worship team to come forward. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so I send you. He's sending you into your world, to your life, to your family, to your neighbors, to your work associates. He sends you as a disciple of Christ, as an ambassador for Christ. And as the Father has sent me, he is sending you, he said, by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the disciples had spent several years with Jesus and witnessed many incredible things. I mean, they could not imagine life without him. And yet then Jesus began to prepare them for something more. They had eternal work to do for the kingdom of God. And he makes to them a rather startling statement. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's better that I go, because it's part of the Father's plan. I came, Jesus says, with the Holy Spirit resting upon me to accomplish the work of the kingdom of God. And now that I'm going back with the Father, I'm sending the Holy Spirit so you can do the same thing. The same Holy Spirit that rests on Jesus wants to rest on you. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Let's stand and worship our God this morning.
And I will give you all my worship.